Hello and welcome to Lasting Values. I'm today's host, Idara Otoo, Director at Credit Suisse, and today we're going to be looking at the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, and how it could jumpstart global climate action. The IRA was signed into U.S. law in August of this year. It's a massive measure intended to curb inflation in the U.S. by reducing the deficit, lowering prescription drug prices, and investing into domestic energy production while promoting clean energy. Our focus is the Act's climate and energy provisions.
I do believe the IRA is extremely transformative, not just for the U.S., but for around the world. If we do this right, this is going to impact not just the next 10 years, but next decade and beyond.
That's Betty Jiang, head of U.S. ESG research at Credit Suisse, who led our recent report on the IRA, calling it a tipping point in climate action. Alongside the Act, this Credit Suisse report has been receiving some really high-profile attention. In October, U.S. President Joe Biden promoted it in his speech covering the IRA, saying, "We have a chance to really make some significant changes and literally save the planet." In the media, The Atlantic called our report truly remarkable. So why all the interest? And how is this legislation any different to what's been done before?
I think the IRA is very well designed and it's comprehensive. It's technology neutral. So for the case of clean electricity or clean hydrogen, it's let the best technology win and what's going to be the most cost-effective solution. It also tackles climate from both the energy supply side and on the energy demand side. Also, not just about scaling up the mature technologies today, like solar and wind, but climate innovation, so that it positions the U.S. for climate leadership in 2030s and beyond. But what's the most important differentiation for the IRA is that it's incentive-based. That is the fundamental difference between the U.S. and Europe, where in Europe, you're talking about carbon price and avoidance of penalty, whilst in the U.S., we are trying to incentivize activities based on a fixed level of incentive for a fixed amount of time. And that provides investors and project developers with the visibility for them to greenlight projects.
The Credit Suisse report, interestingly, suggests that the IRA's climate spending is likely to be double the headline figure. The bulk of the headline spending in this bill goes towards efforts to move away from fossil fuels. It offers tax credits for solar and wind production, grants to environmental justice communities for locally led mitigation and adaptation measures, and funding to support transitions to electric vehicles and homes. But the $400 billion muted figure, we suggest, is more like $800 billion. In fact, we reckon total public plus private financing could reach around $1.7 trillion over 10 years.
I actually think that is one of the key surprises for many investors is that many of the tax credits in the incentive in the bill is uncapped. So that the $369 billion that many talk about is actually an estimate. It's part of the procedural process to get the bill passed. But the reality of how much the bill ended up spending could be very different. On our numbers, we think two-thirds of that initial estimate are tied to tax credits that are unlimited in the bill, and that the attractiveness of the tax credits are so good that it's just going to draw in more investments into the U.S. and into these projects. So on our numbers, we think the federal spending is going to be over $800 billion, which is double the initial estimate. And once you bring in the private to public multiplier effect, where a lot of academic study is showing at least a one-to-one ratio, that's how we get to almost $1.7 trillion over 10 years.
I'm interested to know which industries will be benefiting most from these provisions.
So clearly, the IRA is very beneficial for the entire renewable and clean energy ecosystem. And what's really impactful from the bill is the stackability of these credits. So for take clean electricity as an example, they get the benefit from the manufacturing of solar and wind components, and they also get the benefit of clean generation that electricity combined We think that's going to bring renewable generation in the U.S. some of the cheapest costs around the world. And we also think IRA is game-changing for hydrogen and carbon capture. Because of the cheap electricity we now have in the U.S., we think the U.S. can generate the cheapest cost of green hydrogen around the world as well. And that's certainly going to help us initially to decarbonize, but it can also position us as a net exporter of green hydrogen or ammonia down the road. And then let's talk about manufacturing. The single most expensive provision in the bill, we believe, is going to be the advanced manufacturing provision, which covers the manufacturing of solar, wind, battery components. And then the credits are so attractive that we think we can build out brand new industries in solar, wind, battery manufacturing from de minimis level today.
Let's pick up on the IRA benefits for the green hydrogen sector. Our report says that clean hydrogen credits and cheap clean electricity could result in the cost of U.S. green hydrogen being among the lowest in the world. The Act provides additional policies and incentives for hydrogen, including production tax credits of billions of dollars. Jigar Shah, the Director of Loans Program for the U.S. Department of Energy, says that the IRA really built investor confidence in the part that governments can play at a national and state level in a full rollout of clean energy technologies. Here he is talking at our recent Sustainability Week event.
The big thing that we have today is confidence, right? When you think about Wright's Law, which has been around forever and ever and ever, it was suddenly rediscovered in the solar and wind and lithium ion boom, where people are saying, oh, there's a learning curve. Oh, you learn by doing. Oh, cost reductions are actually, you know, a function of deployment, right? Suddenly people were like, oh, this makes total sense. The government should put money in, and then it results in lower costs, and then those lower costs result in more deployment, and then the government subsidies could be backed off on a little bit. And so now you see a level of confidence coming out of the IRA around doing this around 20 additional sectors, right? Not just hydrogen, but carbon management and long duration energy storage and industrial decarbonization, nuclear power, you know, lots of things, right? And so I think there is a framework today that people have more confidence that the government can play this useful role. And there are many tools, right? So it's not just tax credits. It's also deployment, right? In the Office of Clean Energy Deployment, we have a lot of grant programs. We have hundreds of billions of dollars of additional loan authority that have come into the Loan Programs Office. But more importantly, you have federal procurement that's being shifted to make sure that there's procurement within the ecosystem. And then you also have mandates, right? So the state of California has banned internal combustion engine cars from being sold there in 2035, and New York has followed suit. You've got green cement requirements that have been put in place by those states as well. So you start to see an ecosystem where investors see that there's actually support for the entire commercialization curve.
Rob Hansen's co-founded company, Monolith, is an example of a clean technology, and Rob's excited by the government policies that are now finally catching up with the tech. The company uses 100% renewable electricity to convert traditional or renewable natural gas or renewable biogas into clean hydrogen and carbon. This clean, sustainable process produces zero local emissions and significantly reduces life cycle emissions by 96%. Here is Rob speaking at our recent Sustainability Week event.
So look, back in 2012, when we were starting a clean hydrogen company, starting in Silicon Valley and pitching Sand Hill Road, and then, you know, making our way through Houston and through New York and through Calgary, Canada, you kind of had to say hydrogen quietly because people were concerned, right? They didn't believe in it. People weren't looking to make big investments that lasted a decade plus with really ambitious plans. So it was a hard time to start a company in this space, but we thought it was still the right time because climate change wasn't going to just stop and the world's infrastructure needed a major upgrade. And we always had this belief in a high energy, low emission future. You know, it took a lot of hard work over the past 10 years, but it's exciting because now we're arriving at that critical time where policy is lining up, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, the hubs and the infrastructure bill. just generally the financial community is lining up around putting dollars into this space. And the challenge is there's really not enough technology. And these technologies take a long time to develop. So I think we were lucky in that we got a decade kind of head start. And it's exciting to see a ton of new startups in this space and other parts of the energy transition and the financial community willing to support it.
Another industry affected by the IRA is electric vehicles. Our analysts think that the $7,500 clean vehicle credit may be one of the IRA's most restrictive provisions.
There are two tax credits that really impacts the auto industry. There's the manufacturing credit and there's the $7,500 EV tax credit for the purchase of electric vehicles. So both on the supply side and on the demand side. On the manufacturing, we do think that it's going to bring in battery manufacturing in the US because there is no domestic content requirement tied to that credit. Meanwhile, the $7,500 tax credit comes with many strings attached. In order to qualify for the full credit, automakers need to have an increasing amount of battery components coming from North America and critical minerals from US and FTA countries. But the most restrictive clause in that provision is the anti-China provision, where in order to qualify for the entire credit, the automakers cannot have any battery components or critical minerals from foreign country of concern, meaning Russia or China, starting from 2024 and 2025. And given how the EV supply chain is so tied to China today, it's just yet to be seen how automakers can change their supply chain today, one, and two, is the $7,500 tax credit even high enough to incentivize them to change their supply chain?
So perhaps it's not all as simple as it seems when coming to spurring clean energy production. Betty explains the unknowns and the potential pitfalls within the legislation.
A question that we get a lot is the political durability of this bill. It is technically possible if the Republicans have control of the presidency and both sides of Congress that they could repeal part, if not all, of this bill. The earliest we believe they could do that would be late 2025. But in our view, it's just not sensible. Based on our research, we think that Republican states stand to benefit the most from the impact of this IRA bill. The Republican states already have the most abundant resources around renewable generation. When we talk about clean industrial hub, the development that we could see along the Gulf Coast, many of these opportunities really lie in these states. And we think as a result, the job growth and the tax revenue can really bring in bipartisan support for IRA and the climate legislation more broadly in a few years. On the execution side, we do worry about permitting. In order to execute on this, any large infrastructure project, whether that's solar, wind project, or transmission lines, or new carbon capture projects, it requires permitting. And that ended up could be a political issue as well. We're hopeful that once people do understand the broader benefit of the bill, that they can bring the various stakeholders together in support of these project developments. And the last thing I would just end with people. We really need people with specialized expertise and technical skills to execute on this. This is not just about climate expertise, but on the regulation side, on the permitting side, home construction. This is creating some of the best opportunities and job opportunities within climate and sustainability space. And I think it will be a very exciting 10 years for people around.
So how will all this federal spending be funded? Betty looks at the numbers.
Based on the initial estimate, the revenue generated by the bill will exceed the spending. But based on our estimate, it probably may not. The excess revenue brought in by the bill can help to fund some of the overspend on the climate. But to put the deficit into context, we're talking about $400 billion of additional climate spending over 10 years, say $40 to $50 billion per year. In the context of the U.S. federal deficit, where we're running at $2.8 trillion per year in 2020 and 2021. And then on average, the government ran almost $900 billion per year of deficit over the last 20 years. So that additional climate spending is really a drop in the bucket. And we think that's actually spending that would generate a lot of other benefits in the economy.
Climate change is a challenge that requires bold moves across public and private sectors. The Atlantic article covering our report says the fight against climate change is going to alter more in the next 4 years than it has in the past 40. If you're interested to find out more on this topic, check out our full report called A Tipping Point in Climate Action. We delve into the knowns surrounding the act and also look at what's missing. Will the IRA help the U.S. leapfrog other nations to become the premier energy supplier for the world? Time will tell. So hit that follow button on Apple or Spotify to listen in to more from Lasting Values, the sustainability podcast by Credit Suisse.
Should a bank clean up the ocean? We engage with companies creating ocean impact and preventing plastic pollution practices. We're on it.
The information provided herein constitutes general marketing material. It is not investment advice, nor otherwise based on a consideration of the personal circumstances of the addressee, nor is it a result of objective or independent research. The information provided herein is not legally binding, and it does not constitute an offer or invitation to enter into any type of financial transaction. The information provided herein was produced by a member of Credit Suisse Group AG and or its affiliates, hereafter CS, with the greatest of care and to the best of its knowledge and belief. The information and views expressed herein are those of CS at the time of writing and are subject to change at any time without notice. They are derived from sources believed to be truthful and reliable. CS provides no guarantee with regard to the completeness and accuracy of the information, and where legally possible, does not accept liability for any direct, indirect, incidental, specific, or consequential losses that might arise from making use of the information. If nothing is indicated to the contrary, all figures are unaudited. The information provided herein is solely for information purposes and the exclusive use of the recipient, and is not intended and should not be construed as legal, accounting, tax, nor financial advice provided by CS. If this material is issued and distributed in the US, it is by CSSU, a member of NYSE, FINRA, SIPC, and the NFA, and CSSU accepts responsibility for its contents. Clients should contact their sales representative and execute transactions through a Credit Suisse subsidiary or affiliate in their home jurisdiction, unless governing law permits otherwise. This material is intended for institutional investors only, not for retail distribution. It may not be reproduced, neither in part nor in full, without the prior written permission of CS. Important information for investors in Germany. The information and views expressed herein are those of CS at the time of writing and are subject to change at any time without notice. They are derived from sources believed to be reliable. CS provides no guarantee with regard to the content and completeness of the information. If nothing is indicated to the contrary, all figures are unaudited. The information provided herein is for the exclusive use of the recipient. Copyright 2021 Credit Suisse Group AG and or its affiliates. All rights reserved.